Yeah, good. No, I'm saying, so you just hit record, which is great. So after about 20 minutes on one TV show, I'll move to the next one so we can have it around 40.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so those chippies, yeah, they're American buffalo wing flavor.
Right.
And I thought that
was a buffalo wing. You're our American correspondent.
It's like ranch dressing.
What's ranch? Ranch. I mean, I know what it is, but like what?
It's like
there's
a
all
weird,
these American things that, yeah, like, what is that? Like, they'll just be like, it's ranch. I'm like,
ranch,
yeah,
is
but
delicious.
What's in ranch?
I don't know, but I feel like it's a mixture between mayonnaise and blue cheese.
Oh, okay.
Right? It's got like a oof to it. So you have ranch buffalo wings. You know, look, it's spicy. It's buffalo wings. You have spicy buffalo wings and stuff
so
like
buffalo
that.
Wings are chicken wings.
Yeah.
But is it because they're from Buffalo, New York?
I don't know.
Are they? Like what?
I think it's just
all
the flavor.
These names.
I think it's just like a buffalo wing flavor.
But what
sauce.
Is the flavor of buffalo?
Like barbecue.
Okay.
Like a
but
smoky
why
barbecue.
Why is buffalo a name for barbecue? Why wouldn't they just be called barbecue chicken wings?
Well, the same reason why some people call, you know, vacuuming, I'm doing a Hoover. I'm going to hoover over that.
So there's buffalo chicken that you can buy.
Yeah, I think so.
Like a brand.
I think so.
Like
could be
Ingham's or Steggles.
Listen,
here.
This podcast does not have facts. We know that. But I feel like buff for me, buffalo wings was always like breaded,
mm-hmm,
but not with breadcrumbs, but like, you know, breaded wings,
right,
that have a kick to it.
Yeah.
And because they have a kick, you will have either a ranch dressing on the side that you just dip them in, or you have a blue cheese dressing,
right,
that you know, dip it on the side. So these chippies,
so buffalo wings are spicy as well.
They do have a like light and
spicy,
like light and tangy chips.
Oh.
Like that, like it has like a but not like, you get hot wings, but they're hot wings, but buffaloes, yeah, got more of a
right.
But these,
did you know the In Excess song Kick was about
blank,
buffalo wings?
Blank.
Sometimes it's got kick.
Well, the flavor of these chippies, they're from Not Quite Right. They taste like light and tangy.
Should we tell the guys about how we're boycotting Woolworths and Coles?
Yeah, we don't go to Coles or Woolworths anymore. I haven't gone to a Coles or Woolworths in weeks, and I'm doing all of my shopping in the main street where I go to the butcher.
Yep.
And
butcher.
Then I go Not Quite Right.
Yeah.
Pick up like
Not Quite Right is a trap though.
Yeah.
And like it's still the same as a supermarket because all the stuff that you need is in the back right corner of the shop. So if you want milk, cheese, ham, orange, like juice, stuff that's like your staples. They put all of that in the back corner and you've got to just go through rows and rows and rows of weird like chips and chocolates that you've never heard of before. Like yesterday I bought 2 blocks of Daryl Lee Rice Krispie chocolate, which I assume they had a deal struck with Rice Bubbles and then it fell through and now they're just doing Rice Krispies.
It's just a crunch bar. But I went there. I went to Not Quite Right yesterday and I again forgot to go into the fridge part, right?
Yeah, because you end up filling up a basket with just like chips. Not you, us, both of us. Like
they've got Ben and Jerry's ice cream there for $5.
Yeah, a punnet.
A punnet. Oh, Jimmy, gorgeous. Look at this gorgeous dog. He's just sitting on my lap because I've got the heated blanket on me. And he actually made the sound. And he stretched out just now. Like this beautiful puppy dog has no idea the actual bin fire that has been happening today, this week, last week. Absolute just burn it all down.
It's been a bad week.
It's been a really, really, really bad week. Real bad week.
It's been a bad week. Please, let's do a podcast.
Hence, I bought some chips and he got some chocolate. And
it doesn't take much. Like,
doesn't
this,
take much
this has been a very bad week. There's been a lot of bad news. We won't go into it because it's meant to be a comedy podcast or at least
well,
like
people know.
Fun.
People know what happened.
People
this week.
Know, yeah. Especially if you lived in Australia. Like, you know, one of the things. Anyway.
well, but I mean, we don't have to like tippy tap toe over them. I mean, you know what I mean? Like there was a nationwide disgrace that happened yesterday, and then there was an absolutely devastating thing happen this week.
Yeah.
So we're both pretty sad and disappointed and mad at the world, and you've been quite angry. I love you, and you haven't done, you know, obviously he's the best, but you've, yeah, the anger in you, I'm actually quite proud of you, the anger that's in you, because I only ever wanted to be with someone who had morals and values, and that their core values were good for better. I mean, we do argue a lot over bullshit, but the fact
the stuff
that
we argue over is like TV shows and like who ate the chips.
Light bulbs. We argue a lot over light bulbs.
Well, that's because I try to automate the house and
that's because I try to automate the house and put everything in a Google. That's what comes. And I hate everything to do with Google.
I don't want to talk about the fucking Google stuff, Bob. I really don't.
You don't want to talk about it? Well, I don't want to fucking use it. Anyway, but all those things aside, I'd rather you be as angry as you are now than be the person that goes, who cares about the no getting coming through?
No, yeah.
The no vote for voice of parliament?
And this will probably piss some people off, but whatever. My whole life I've felt people talk about it as a cultural cringe. It's not a cultural cringe. There's plenty of culture that's come out of Australia that I love. What I have always fucking hated and tried to spend as little time in this country as possible when I was in my 20s and then probably got safe and forgot about it is that there is just an inherent fucking anti-intellectualism, anti-art, anti-progress,
anti-success story
mindset in this country that is fucking relentless and depressing, and it makes me fucking angry. And events like yesterday remind me of that. And I get shattered down as well. Like, you'll say stuff like this and you'll literally get that Aussie thing of like, nah, get your hand off it, mate. I'm done. I'm fucking done. And I won't bang on about it too much, but it's infuriating. And now, when I walk down the street, you know, I'm just fucking judging every single fucking person where I'm like, fuck you. Like, fuck you. You definitely, like someone in a giant fucking truck, you definitely voted no.
A fucking big boy. When you see a nice big boy.
So, usually in these situations, like if the Labor Party loses an election or whatever, I try and be magnanimous about it because you don't catch flies with vinegar, you know. But today I'm like fucking appalled and ashamed. Like it was the tiniest fucking it was the tiniest fucking amount that we could do to show any sort of reparations or signs of reconciliation
just
towards
acknowledgement,
the indigenous people of the the country that we've lived in, squatted in for 230 years. And nah, can't even fucking do the bare minimum of that.
What's so scary is
and
that
it was yeah sorry
I just want to say what's so scary is that there were so many no votes, and I'm like, I must know, like there must be friends and family that are like, they've voted no, and the only reason I can think of them doing it is that they're like, who cares? They're like, who cares, or why should they get anything? You know, that's the only like... Like if your reasoning is I just didn't know enough about it, you're a pussy. Go fucking read or listen or watch something, get some fucking information. But if you're like, why should
they
get anything?
That's the thing. They were watching Channel 7, they were watching Channel 9, they were reading the Herald Sun.
Yeah.
And that's where they were getting their information
from. I got
all
my information, did my research. No, you only got your research from one side. I can collectively say that I get my research from this side, and I also go to the other side, look too, because I need to know where they are. I need to know that stuff.
If Australia had a personality, it would be the annoying guy in the office that always wants you to join the footy tipping, doesn't watch anything, says things like, I don't like comedy.
Says things like, boys will be boys.
Boys will be boys. Mm. You know, like, fucking, why can't everyone just get a fair go?
Yeah, I didn't get a fair go. Why should they get a fair go?
Sorry,
fucking white guy who, you know, came from a stable enough family. You didn't get a fucking fair go. Piss off.
So, yeah, I feel angry, but I also feel, like, completely detached, which is how I felt in my teens and 20s. And then, like, throughout my 30s, I was like, oh, maybe, you know, because you get convinced by people that, like, you know, to shut up and to, like, accept, like, this is a good place and you're lucky to be here. And it's like, well, in some aspects, yeah, absolutely. But in other aspects, it doesn't mean I have to fucking like everything about it. And I kind of just got subservient with that. And
I feel like I'm lucky to be here because it is well within my right and I'm not going to get shot for having my opinion.
Yeah.
And I'm going to scream my opinion. Yeah, I'm going to scream it for people so they can hear it. Oh, why do you have to do that? Oh, why do we have to? Oh, we have to talk about that. Oh, but
that's the big thing, right? Yeah, like, it's just constant in this country. Like, why do we have to just leave
it?
Why do
I have to hear it? And by get along, I mean me be middle class and okay, and this person can, you know, go to hospital to have a baby and wake up with a hysterectomy against their will. Mm. Why can't we all just get along? Fuck off. Anyway, we're pretty angry. But also, there's anger. I've got anger in me already because of grief. And grief anger is real fucking psychotic.
Yeah.
Like, I have been on a food binging, alcohol drinking, smoke swilling fucking. And I had a moment last night where I was like, all right. Bad things happen. People pass away and you're heartbroken. But I've got to pick it up. Got to pick it up. You know what I mean? We're still here and, you know, and that sounds so fucking dumb what I just said.
No.
But I'm like, because my immediate, whenever something bad happens, my immediate reaction is self-destruction.
Yeah.
So, yes, there's some bad things happened. All you have to do is, you know, look at my Instagram, see what happened. And then, so now I just kind of had a moment last night where I was like, all right, pull your fucking finger out of your ass. I feel like I've said that to myself a lot.
Someone that you cared about passed away and it was shocking and sudden. And the way that you're feeling and all your friends and all of us are feeling completely valid.
It is completely valid.
But you
valid.
Do, it's, you know, again, it's another fucking side effect of, like, just the harshness of this fucking country and the society we live in, because we've been brought up in a society in this country in Australia where it's like, you just get on with it. You fucking hear it all the time. It's like, Aussies just, just fucking chin up, walk it off. You'll
stiff
be right.
Up a lip, cunt.
She'll be right, mate. Piss off. Bullshit. Sometimes you need to fucking feel things. Like, that's why everyone's a fucking psychopath. That's when we had fucking COVID, people were killing each other over fucking toilet paper and shit because people are emotionally fucking repressed in this country. They don't know how to fucking create. They don't know how to be forward thinking. They don't know how to fucking talk to each other about anything. So it's just trapped down there.
Sometimes you need to go to Not Quite Right and buy a massive packet of cheese puffs,
honey barbecue cheese. Hey, listen, if you're anywhere near
$2 a packet,
let's change gears. Let's fucking do a real quick fucking handbreaking.
We should do a podcast about our food.
It's going to turn into food. It's going to turn into a food podcast.
Yesterday someone said,
I literally was like, could we do a podcast next week about watching Paul McCartney? We didn't say what we were watching.
Oh, yeah, we could.
Could we do a Paul McCartney
episode? We can. But it wasn't yesterday. We saw Seals and the Knicks. And I said to Damien, do you want to go halfies with me in a cannoli? And then they all laughed. And I can't remember who said it, if it was Nick or Seals, where they were like, that's the new podcast.
New podcast. That is the podcast.
No, but like the name of a new podcast.
Should we just share a cannoli?
A cannoli?
That could be the spin-off.
Seals was like, should we share a cannoli? She's like, that could be a relationship podcast or a food podcast.
Yeah, or both. I don't think we should be giving anyone relationship advice. You know
we should because No, fuck that. We communicate. And we, I feel like...
We communicate real loud, yeah, real loud. At each other.
Like, I am, I'm so close to smashing plates. Like, we had a bit of a tiff the other night, and it was pretty big. Like, I felt like it was a pretty big one, and we kind of went to bed without, like, really kind of making up, and it really...
I had a tanty.
I reacted pretty, like, bulldog was out. Ruff, ruff. We had a bit of a tiff, and we kind of went to bed without really resolving it, and I woke up feeling pretty...
Is this another episode of Bulldog Off the Chain?
Bulldog Off the Chain.
The podcast within the podcast?
Yeah. Bulldog Off the Chain. We've got a live recording at the Folded Arms Hotel.
Beware of the bulldog.
But I didn't like, you know, like we went to bed fine, but we didn't. And I just felt really bad the next day about it. And I felt a bit off kilter for a few days, actually.
Mm.
And it was... you know, we don't really fight. Like, we'll argue and stuff, but we don't really fight. And I don't like it because, and I know when we do have those big ones, it's because we don't fucking communicate. We've just got to talk. Like, because when one of us is not saying what we really want to say,
mm.
or something like that. And I see other couples who don't communicate and how it really ruins them. And I am not on board with that, with us, because our big thing is we talk. We talk so much we have a dumb podcast.
It's not dumb. It's the greatest,
yeah,
living podcast.
Oh, and we're doing it, mate. And this week is the rap party. Talk about rap party. Talk,
yeah, about
it. We're doing a rap party where we're going to wrap up two seasons of the shows. We've watched it and no. I spoke to Seals this morning. She... watched the last episode of Only Murders in the Building.
This is, should we just watch it real quick, the only podcast in the world. I am your host, Dr. Dickhead Damien Gibson. Mm. I didn't do honours in dickheadery to be called Mr. You Fuckstick. And joining me is Callie. I'm fucking real mad for Stuka. Oh, man, don't talk to somebody. Me about shit, or I will murder you with my big, giant, muscly arms.
I know. I have high strength. I might be weak as a willow. No?
No.
No.
What?
Nah, flat tire.
Take two.
I am. Oh, mate, I got a bit of chip in my boob. There you go.
What's the name of the sound guy from Toast, the Matt Berry show?
No.
Can you hear me? Oh, God, I can't remember. It doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah, you made me watch that.
Yeah.
Yeah, where it's like Jeremy or something.
Clem Van Dango.
Oh, yeah.
It's Clem Van Dango. Can you hear me? Yes, I can hear you, Clem Van Dango.
Yes, I can hear you. I'm Matt Berry.
You're doing all right. Your Matt Berry's coming along.
All my voices are great. Yeah, I am really good at voices.
All my voices are great. The Kelly Fasuka story.
Another podcast within a podcast.
Name of your next comedy festival show. All my voices are great.
What's my best voice?
The
voice that I do where you're like, gee, she's good.
As far as impersonations are concerned, there's a lot. Mm. But then there's like random voices that you do as well that I love.
Mm.
Like nerdy Kelly is pretty fucking hilarious.
Your bloke voice, like a real bloke voice, is the best. Like, you can sound like an actual dude, a dude that would have voted no. Because look, I just got to hear all arguments, got to hear both sides. But your dude, or you're like, yeah, me and the boys, we're just having a bit of a
Stevie. What's going on, you fucking dumb cat? yeah, that's playing cricket against you, Will, for 14 years. I played my first game of seniors cricket when I was 12 years old.
You know, fuck, here we go.
No, I'm not saying that as like, here I'm a great cricketer. I mean, like, in the sense of like, I was hearing shit and being around adult men that I should not have been.
Yeah,
guys called. There was a couple of dudes called Spider and Platsy. And. Like
Spider, because he was handsy.
They said Spider was called Spider because he was like 6'7" and like had big gangly spider arms. Right?
I always love the initiation. And
Platsy was. It sounds like an interesting nickname. His surname was Platt.
Oh, Platsy. Yeah,
but they were like in their, they would have been in their mid-20s, they played D grade, which is what I played too. Jesus. And they were essentially the guys who babysat me. Spider had a fucking, he had a panel van, which was also around the time of like Mr. Krull. Remember Mr. Krull, Carmen Chan and stuff? So like he would drive down and you'd see kids like ducking into their fucking front yard when fucking Spider was driving around. But thinking back on it, like they would smoke fucking rolly cigarettes. Mm. They'd go to the shop, right? Platsy would be like, I'm going to go to the shop. You want a drink, Gibbe? And then I'd be like, oh, yeah. And they would buy, I remember they'd they would buy me Oasis iced teas. Remember Oasis iced teas?
Oh, yeah. They were delicious.
Yeah. And mum and dad wouldn't get them for me because they were full of sugar. But they'd get a six pack of beer to drink while we were batting.
Oh, okay.
And we'd sit, the three of us would sit in the back of the panel van with both the doors open. And the stories I would hear from these two, like, I'm 12. Dude. Not 22, 12.
I know that this is a horrific story. But
so that voice is a cross between Platsy and Spider.
Dude, I'm still stuck on the Oasis iced teas. I haven't
bloody, they were fucking amazing.
What was our food podcast called? Should we just share a cannoli?
Should we just split a cannoli real quick?
Should we just split a cannoli real quick? Because remember, and you'd hear the little of the lid. And I used to always get the peach one. Oh, yeah. I love the peach one. Love, love, love. And they're made out of glass. Are they still around?
No.
What happened to them?
I don't know.
What the fuck, man?
This
fucking country's stuffed.
I think the West Indies cricket team, like, did an ad for it at one point.
Mate, they were the best. Anyway.
But yes, we are doing rap parties. Kelly wants to do two. I don't think we're going to get through two. Because we're talking about whole seasons of shows.
Yeah.
The idea is to talk about season two of The Bear and season three of Only Murders in the Building. Which one do you want to start with?
Start with The Bear.
Yeah. So I hadn't watched season one of The Bear.
Mm.
I think we already kind of talked about this on the episode one, season two. Mm. Season two of The Bear is maybe outside of like season three of Breaking Bad, maybe the best season of TV I've ever seen.
Could not agree with you more. If you haven't, it's not about that. It's not about that. This show is like
all spoilers, riddled. No facts, by the way.
Huh?
All spoilers, no facts.
Oh, mate, the spoilers are gonna be fucking rocking hard out of my dick. It's not about like because with Breaking Bad, it was like the suspense and stuff. Like it was cliffhanger.
Yeah.
This show, The Bear, is such a well fucking crafted show, and the way that every episode in this season focused on a particular character and their character arc, I can't even.
Yeah.
Like, and just talking to people that have watched it and getting their, like, which one was your favorite? Oh, mine was when he went to, is it Denmark or the Netherlands or?
Yeah.
Yeah. And when he went to Europe.
It was called Denmark.
Sure. Right. He went to Denmark. So
Holland or Amsterdam. It was called Amsterdam.
So I knew it was Dutchish. So I can't remember the character's name, but the black guy that does the desserts, they send him for like 2 weeks to learn pastry and desserts. And this one episode, it's all him. And it's just him getting up. And it's fucking beautiful.
Yeah.
It's not on the edge of suspense. It's not a cliffhanger. It is just a very fucking beautifully well-crafted piece of fucking cinematography and art. And it just really hits home the character journey. And I haven't even begun to talk about Richie's episode.
Yeah.
I haven't even begun to talk about Richie's episode or the fucking Christmas episode. Guys.
Yeah, Fishers is the best episode of the season.
This is unbelievable. It's
the best episode of TV I've ever seen.
With the dinner?
Outside of AEW Dynamite this week.
That's true.
The best episode of TV I've seen.
Dude, this.
It is.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Well, hang on. We sort of bounce around all over the place.
But this is where I can't hold it all in.
So I just wanted to comment on Amsterdam because I know our friend Nick Collar really loved that episode.
That was his favorite, I think,
And I can see why because he's a cinemaphile and
he's a
director and a filmmaker as well. Yeah. And I didn't know what how much if I could dox him on
the podcast. He's a pretty great.
But yeah, I can see why, because it's very minimal and it tells an amazing story. And like through atmospherics, it gives you a really good feeling of what it's like to live in another city on your own, you know, and you're so desperately sort of clinging to the one person that you know, and you like look forward to like those interactions because you don't have interactions with anyone else. And then the thing that was most real to me was the phone call that he has with
Sydney,
where like it's breaking up and like they keep, you know, like he's so excited to speak to her and then like the line keeps breaking up and like you can see the frustration in his face, but he's also like trying to talk to her, and then she does the joke of like stopping and then starting again. And like,
well, you just hit the nail on the head when you said this episode is minimalistic.
Yeah, how the it's hell, all about atmosphere. Like, it's
how the hell do you make an episode that is minimalistic?
It's really Kubrick.
Yeah, but pulled. We both watched it, eyes peeled, didn't say anything, and at the end of it, I felt full. Like, I felt like I felt full of, but it was minimalistic. That is incredible, man. This fucking show, it's incredible. But you're right, it is Kubrickistic.
You know? It's a lot like Stanley Kubrick, like long panning shots, really long, like the holding on establishing shots, two shots of like, you know, because essentially there's only really two characters in that episode. And when you see them talking, there's a lot of two shots. So it's like just really in the moment. And I think a lot of directors of TV shows could really take a fucking leaf out of the book of people who make The Bear, because
100%
they utilize so many different techniques. When you go and watch a show, you know, I'm trying to think of it, like we watched one episode of White Lotus of season two, right? And the location of that is stupendous, right? But you didn't get a great feeling for that. You do initially, because there's an initial, it's just cookie cutter, right? It's like, here's the initial shot. You'll never see that again. Whereas in The Bear, in this Amsterdam episode, they show Amsterdam from like 20 different angles, and it gives you the feeling that you're in the city with this guy learning how to,
and there's a weird interaction, become
a dessert chef, you know, like even just like, it's so sorry, Bob, I didn't talk over the top of you, but like even like he's living on a boat on one of the canals, and there's scenes where he's just sitting there looking and you can hear the boat creaking and rocking. Those tiny little strokes just help tell the story so much. It feels like he's thousands of miles away from New York.
And I have that weird moment where he a guy falls off his bike.
Yeah.
And falls on, like, he's trapped underneath a gate.
He's pissed as a newt and he's ridden his bike into a fucking gate and he's just lying there with, like, a log trapped on his
help,
leg.
But, like,
but that's the kind of shit that happens when you're overseas, right?
Like, it's so weird. It's so good.
You don't know not to walk down that way because that's where all the fucking drunks are or whatever. You know what I mean? So you end up having these, like, and it's not scary. You never have, like, he never fears for his life or anything like that. It's just a weird interaction, because that's the story he would tell about Amsterdam when he got home.
Dude.
Like, man, there was this one night where I was working late, you know, and I was walking home. So, yeah, that was great. Richie's episode, I know you loved.
Richie's episode.
That's like an amazing redemption arc. Oh, you know, Jimmy. Like,
massive. Again, the character development, and I'll always bring it back to Mad Men. Pete Campbell, for me, has always been one of the most brilliant character development. It doesn't happen overnight, but it very sneakily happens over six seasons where Pete goes from A to B, and it's incredible. Richie, I fucking sobbed in Richie's episode. Because they send him to a Calm sends him to a fancy restaurant as like a host, right? Restaurants, fancy restaurants
Calm
have a host.
Calm sends him to his teacher's
restaurant. Fancy place.
To learn how to be a maitre d', right?
Right. And it's one of those things where Richie's always been a fuck up and he is really dragging his feet. Like the first day they make him polish forks for 8 hours and he drags his feet and drags his feet. And then all of a sudden they're like, okay, go put on a suit. And he's wearing the suit. And then something happens where, and this goes in life as well, he puts on the suit. There's pride in himself and that this has always been the thing that you'll say to people, especially when you're having a mental health journey. This is a long bow, but I will say he put on the suit and it automatically made him feel like a better man and it started relaying in the episode. But
yeah,
my kind of correlation with that is that making the bed – I know it's like not it's a long bow, but sometimes whenever people talk about making their bed, about how fucked it is, I'm like, make your bed, because I will tell you now, if you only achieve one thing in that day, then it's still a good thing because you've made your bed. And I know it sounds silly, but there's something about the pride in that. That can start your day off in a better way. Just like him putting on the suit just starts everything off in a better way. And fucking Olivia Colman is in it.
Yeah.
And it has the most beautiful, sweet scene. Oh, Jimmy is just laying next to me doing his little ass.
He's actually stretching. Like, it's like a cartoon. Anyway, yeah, Olivia Colman is great.
I think he's fighting as well.
Olivia Colman, that's where you're up to.
Olivia Colman. She has this beautiful Olivia Colman-esque scene with him where she's just cutting up mushrooms. I don't know. I quite like it. It's very calming and lovely. It's just every second counts.
The suit represents it's a physical manifestation of the feeling of our calm. It's his self-confidence but also like the fact that at the same time he gets self-confidence because he realizes the calm has sent him here because he wants him to be part of his team.
Yeah.
Right? And knows that he has the ability to do this because he's good with people.
Yes, he's good but with
calm,
people.
Being calm hasn't said any of this to Richie.
He needs to figure it out himself.
Yeah, but also calm's not great with, like, communicating either. So, like, Richie's had to fucking figure this out for himself, especially the two of them. They have a very bro relationship where they don't say a fucking, like...
This whole show...
They'd rather fist fight
first
and then apologize than, you know what I mean? And that's very real. There's a lot of male relationships that are like that. So, yeah, the suit is a representation of all of that. And Olivia Colman's great. And it sometimes those cameos, especially when a show gets, like, popular after the first season... Yeah. You kind of had it in Only Murders, which we'll talk about in a second, with like Amy Schumer in the second season, and you know, where like she sort of just appeared because obviously she was a fan of the show, and she's not bad in it or anything, but like she's not a pivotal character by any stretch. Whereas Olivia Colman, her obviously like they wanted her, she wanted to be in the show, so it's great. Everybody who shows up in this show. In the second season, and there's some big names that do show up, are absolutely pivotal to the story.
And
there's and they all fucking kill it.
God.
It was obviously an atmosphere where people are allowed to, like, you know, do their work properly. But Olivia Colman, it's a, 2 minute scene?
That's it. She might be,
as far as Richie's story is concerned going forward with this show, she's absolutely pivotal to who he is now, you know? Like, and that was great to watch as well.
Oh, my God, I cried.
And these episodes are only 22 minutes long.
I feel like I want to cry.
Actually, that's not true. Some of them are a bit longer in the second season.
One of them is quite long. But the Richie episode, I cried. And I just kept on repeating to you where I was just like, hey, he did it. I'll cry right now talking about it. Because it's this guy, this character is just, he's us. He is... Every part of yourself where you believe that you are a fuck up and you can't do anything and this is all I'll ever be and this is all anyone ever thinks I can do. The way that he slowly and then in that episode they showed the time of he turned, like how things turn around, not because he was made to, because he fucking wanted to. He wanted to, like, by the end of the episode, like, every morning he has to get up early, leaves the house. And then on that last kind of moment where he leaves the house for, like, the last, you know, the shift at this place, he just stops for a second, wipes down the counter, puts the bread back in the cupboard. The pride sets in for him. The pride of himself.
Yeah.
A job gave him purpose, and he had pride in his job, had pride in himself. And now how this pride now is starting to go in every element of his life. Chef's kiss, mate. Mm. I was so emotional watching this scene because I felt like there is a Richie in all. This sounds so stupid. But Richie's in all of us, man. He fucking did it. He fucking did it, Damien.
Yeah, everybody has the tendency to.
I never thought that would happen.
Because we find out in the next episode, like.
He saves the day, man. He's like.
What? No, the next episode is Fisher's.
Oh, okay. Well, the last episode.
And you get more backstory on everybody. And, like, you meet his ex and, like, see, you know, that, like, he wasn't like this. Mm. Or maybe Fisher's is before that Richie episode. But essentially you see that, like, he wasn't always this, like, aggressive, loud, you know, something. Like, when the breakup, like, when he was with his ex, he was
a lot more normal. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is why Calm keeps him around, because he knows that, like, he's fucking going through shit, you know? Like, it's very – everything's just plotted out so
fucking well. Isn't that interesting? It didn't even really occur to me until really just now about how he was Richie in that look back, because when was that, like 3 years earlier or whatever?
Five years earlier,
Richie was a bit more of a normal person, and then the breakup with his ex and – losing his kid, like all that stuff.
Yeah, and Calm's older brother. So let's just talk about Fisher's real quick, right?
Dude, this episode is groundbreaking.
So you've got his mum is played by Jamie Lee Curtis. This might be the best. Yes. And she has done some amazing work, even Everything Everywhere All at Once. She's amazing in that. She is so intense and so.
Yeah. She'll win an Emmy for this.
She fucking has to. Better. Yeah. If this anyone is... in that shit show fucking Succession wins an Emmy over Jamie Lee Curtis in this fucking show, I will go off. I don't know what the fuck I'll do.
Oh,
I'll
God. But she's incredible.
So that's one person. Bob Odenkirk plays like the...
Dude, I forgot about Bob.
Yeah, he's amazing in it as well. God. He plays this like mouthy fucking uncle who's like a pain in the ass. He's like constantly having a go at John Bethanel, who was in season one, right?
Very briefly, because he's the brother that has
John
died.
John Bethanel, like he can... I know people can take the piss out of him because he takes himself so fucking seriously. But when you see... Because he has a podcast and stuff and he like talks about he's like... Every time I've heard John Bethanel act in an interview, he talks about method acting and going to Russia to learn how to act and blah, blah. But there's a part of me that respects that because it's like, well, he respects the art, right? Mm. Like, he's fucking amazing in it. But the person, how have I fucking forgotten her name? She was in one of my favorite shows of all time. Yeah,
from Community.
Yeah.
Jillian Jacobs.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's great too. She plays Richie's ex. And then there's a couple of other people who are character actors. I don't know their name. But the uncle who gives them the funding for the bear is great anyway. But he's a recurring character. But is it Oliver Platt?
Yeah, he was one of the Three Musketeers.
Oh, fuck.
In the 90s.
Yeah.
Remember?
Holy shit.
Yeah.
He's amazing. But the person, for me, who like steals the show in this episode... Mm. He's John Mulaney.
Oh, yeah. I forgot John Mulaney's in it.
So, like, he's married to the kid's cousin from New York, right? Who's constantly, like, Calm's cheerleader.
Yeah.
Who's the woman who plays that actor?
Let me look it up. I can't remember.
She's great, too. But she's sort of like, is she like an art dealer or something in New York?
And I think she's doing it because she's the one that's like, you come stay with me, Calm, move to New York, get out of this place.
Yeah.
You're better than this.
Yeah. Which I think he does, right? So like he goes and like relies on John Mulaney and the cousin.
And then spares 5 years in New York working at one of the best restaurants in the world, which we think pretty much gave him a nervous breakdown.
Yeah. But we haven't got to that yet. John Mulaney, I've always been a big fan of, right? Like, I love SNL. I love sketch comedy. So I knew about him from that anyway. The Kroll Show is something that you and I reference in this house on the daily. So I have seen John Mulaney do acting, but there's always been a part of me that's like, I feel like he can...
Hello.
Yeah, hello. Like the, oh, hello, I fucking love. Like,
it's too much tuna.
But I was like, I wouldn't say, not at any point would I think, you know, John Mulaney's got the ability to be a fucking great actor. And then in this, like he's not doing a character or anything. Like he comes across like John Mulaney, but he's like so warm and lovely and friendly. And like, it's this voice of reason, like the in-law who is not, you know, like, and he... Yeah, so I never thought that I would see John Mulaney in a dramatic role. You know? Ugh.
It was so cruel. Everything about him interacting with that family was so cruel. Like the way that they spoke to each other. Sarah Paulson's incredible though, but it was so hard to watch.
Should we tell people that we're recording this little bit of the podcast the next day? And we're in bed.
I'm lying in bed with a heat pack on my back. Jimmy lying on me in your work clothes. It's, what time is it? 8:12 night, and I'm in my pajamas in bed already.
With both literally, like we just had a what I like to call a Kelly Festuca dinner, which is like five things at once.
No, it's like all bits and pieces.
It's all bits and pieces.
Girl dinner.
Which is what you love. Anyway, and now both of us are like in like food comas.
We had a
slash
massive
comas.
Issue with batteries yesterday and it stopped. We had to, now we finish it, but.
Yeah.
Look, crux of the whole thing is...
The last episode was really good as well. Like the
dude, the don't drive. Even with the last episode. What
so
the fuck?
So they have a dry run. So like when you open a restaurant or a bar, you usually have like a night of service that's like friends and family. And it means that you can show off the venue to like your friends and family, but it also means you can get any last minute kinks out of like the service and stuff like that. And the more swanky the restaurant, the more, you know, pressure. Like, the bigger the investment in the restaurant, the bigger this night is. And, it's kind of interesting, though, hey, Stoos, because, like, it feels like that episode, like, opens up more stories than resolves them. For a last episode of a season.
God, I was on the edge of my seat. I can't.
Oh, sorry. I know I'm talking over the top of you. You know what we haven't spoken about at all?
What?
Is Calm's girlfriend.
Oh, I thought about it, but I wanted to say all the good things first.
Right, yeah.
Which was, so the last episode, Richie comes in, fucking, oh, like, give me a sports reference.
He saves the day.
It's a goat. Give me a sports reference. Comes in and fucking kicks the goal. From the forward half flank or something.
He saves
the day. Like, but the way they do it, where it's like they build it up, where it's this moment where it's like his eyes and the time and the list and the time, and it just has this circle, and you see it in his brain where he goes, "I got it."
Just to explain what's happening, so it's the biggest night of the restaurant so far. Calm is already. You know, the bear is already, he's stressing out because it's the first time he's struck out and done something on his own.
And he's breaking down.
It's his family restaurant and he's having a breakdown because his mum might be there, he might not. He's not paying attention to his girlfriend. He feels like his girlfriend is like, or the relationship with his girlfriend is making him take his eye off the ball with the restaurant. And so that's like... And the episode is giving you that vibe. Him and I always forget her name.
Sydney.
Like arguing. They have been arguing throughout the whole season, but it's sort of like they're really at each other's throats.
Yeah, it's because Calm's not communicating.
He's not communicating at all. Yeah. So like everyone's in a bad mood. Everyone's on edge. And Calm gets locked in the fucking walk-in fridge.
Dude.
And so he's like their star player. He's their captain, coach, star player.
Yeah.
And he gets locked in the fucking fridge and the rest of the crew have to like come together under Richie's leadership and make it happen. And they do. But there's all this other stuff going on at the same time.
Richie's like, on the pass. If you've ever worked in a restaurant before, Richie's on the pass and it's – that's a hard thing where you're like, I need two, two, three, and you have to time everything perfectly.
Yeah, and you're essentially orchestrating the front of house and back of house stuff at the same time.
I wear a suit now. It's so incredible. And we haven't even talked about the episode where they had to get the gas, the pass for the gas, like –
yeah, that's just a nice little episode. I wouldn't say it's in the top episodes. Look, every single episode of this season is like perfection as far as TV writing is concerned. But I think
I just want to say that episode there where there was this one thing holding the restaurant back from opening, and when it is about to happen, the way the editing makes people's like not their life flash before their eyes, but the thing that's most important to them flash before their eyes, like individually. Yeah, it's so perfect. Yeah, but like just to piggyback on what you were about to say, every episode is perfect except for one. And it's the one where he fucking gets with that chick. The only bad thing about the bear is this chick.
Yeah, the girlfriend, I can't remember her name. Jane? June?
Who cares? Jane? She fucking sucks. She sucks.
She feels like Poochie.
Oh my God, she's Poochie.
Right, like she feels...
She's Poochie.
You've got this like amazing ensemble show.
Yeah.
And it feels like a... I don't know, man.
It was
like,
pigeonholed in. Like a guest writer came in and was like a
fucking, you know, studio note was, you know, Calm's a good-looking guy. You know, maybe we could get him a hot girlfriend or something. Like, there is a part, like, it does feel like it is a part of, like, his arc to, like, move on and be able to have a relationship in spite of his fucked up family. But there is something about this girl or the character that is just infuriatingly annoying. Like, and not in the sense of, like, you just want her to go away. She doesn't seem to add anything. She also doesn't seem to quite understand him or like
no chemistry.
What's input there on screen? I think between the actors, there's no chemistry.
No chemistry.
But just her motivations as a character is like she's meant to be totally in love with him. Mm. They've meant to have had crushes on each other since fucking high school or whatever.
I do not feel that from.
They've known each other since they were what, like fucking 10 years old.
Yeah.
And she seems to give zero fucks about him chefing the restaurant.
Yeah.
It's all about her and their relationship.
Like, she's being really annoyed, like while he's prepping stuff for this massive opening that is basically make or break their entire lives because of the money and, you know.
Yeah.
And basically he has said to his uncle that if we don't open the restaurant within this time – then you'll own the restaurant.
Yeah,
like, and everyone's out. It's horrific. And that, but it's like, if you give us the money, we'll be open in 6 months. If we're not, it's hot, you know. Anyway, so all this pressure. And she's just ragging on him for like, why didn't you answer your phone?
Yeah, just it's constant so throughout fucked. The whole season. But as a viewer, it just feels like this. Because there's one episode that's all about them and then like in every other episode there's like 5 minutes devoted to it and you just really are feeling like you're just sitting through it waiting until they get back to the restaurant or get back to somebody else's story.
Yeah, it's
like
rubbish. Oh, there's no chemistry. It doesn't need it. There was the one episode that they kind of focus on them. If that episode got taken out of the season, it would have been
even better.
It would be better
than it already is.
And it would and the story of the show, the season, would be effortless still because it just wasn't there. It really does feel like, yes, a Poochie and, yeah, like a studio note, like, can we give him a girlfriend? And they just had to, like, just dedicate 5 minutes to it here. The best thing about this show is that it's not a love story.
No.
It's a beautiful fucking story about this family trying to get this restaurant up and, you know, going. And it's – Like, there's no love stories in The Bear, and that's why it's perfect. Every other show has a love story. This one didn't need it.
No.
The show was about something very fucking different, and that's why I loved it, because it focused on cutting up mushrooms. It focused up on all these weird things that we'd never seen before. Why did you fucking put a love story in it?
And just a separate comment as well. No. Like, it feels like over the last 10, 15 years, any sort of sexualization of a relationship is completely gone from the screen. So a relationship is just... And I don't mean in the sense of like, oh, I need to see fucking sex scenes and boobies and stuff to titillate me. I just mean in the sense of like, you don't even see couples go to bed together anymore. Like, there's no sexual chemistry. There's no, which would make, if like they were going off to fuck every 5 minutes, that would make more sense from a story point of view than it would her constantly calling, going, where are you? Why are you not calling me? Barbara. It's almost like phone calls have replaced sex in a relationship in storylines now, where like, but that just becomes annoying. And also, who fucking calls? Who calls?
Dude, I can't.
Fucking text.
I'm telling you, it's a studio note, I reckon. I'm so
Well, they curious. Break up at the last scene of the... And this was the only thing about this episode where it's like, they break up and you're meant to be kind of like heartbroken, I think. And I was like, good.
Good.
It felt like an...
She was holding him back.
It felt like an up... To me personally, I'm like, dude, you're 30 years old. You're opening your first restaurant.
Yeah.
You've got the rest of your fucking life.
Do not start a relationship right now.
Also, don't come back to your hometown and hook up with a girl you had a fucking crush on. Like, you might think that you're in love with this person. This is not the one.
Catherine Ryan did that, though.
It's not the one.
Catherine Ryan had a baby
I take all of my relationship advice from Catherine Ryan.
No, but she's got a beautiful story where she had a daughter, you know, with a guy. And then 10 years later, she went back to, I think the story is, she went back to visit her parents in Canada and then bumped into someone she went to high school with, and they fell in love. And she now has just had two little kids with him, and like old, like high school sweethearts got back together. And that's really sweet. But that's like, she's an exception to the rule.
Yeah, cool. Well, thanks for ruining my flow there by pointing out a one.
In
a billion story.
I know, but listen,
because
you
build up
good.
Someone in your head for 15 years, and then you come back and you're blinded by that bullshit.
But he's got
rather than seeing the person for who she really is, which is a selfish pain in the ass, who wants him to get. You can see that she already wants him to give up on his dreams to fucking make her happy. To what? Put a baby in her so they can fucking, so he can go and get a laboring job and be fucking depressed.
I just don't understand when they were putting this show together that anyone, any
wanted
producer,
to see this. Yeah.
There was a zero amount of chemistry between the two of them. Zero amount of like,
it doesn't
like
add
sexiness
to the story
from Calm.
Either.
Calm is Calm's has this like real like British like sexiness about him, like a sex appeal when he's cooking and when he's interacting with people and stuff like that. But him as a sex symbol, like going in for a fucking, you know, snag fest, is not sexy. Like
To be a sex symbol, there's got to be some sex or sexuality in the film or the TV show.
Yes, but
and there's zero.
There's zero. But I'm saying
in 2023, there is zero in any film or any TV show.
What I'm saying is, when he's like doing, like, you know, in the scenes where he's doing like incredible, like, you know, cooking stuff.
Yeah,
and like
that's
yelling.
Well,
yeah,
we're both
chef,
saying the
yeah,
same
chef.
Thing. We're both.
I know,
the
but
same
I'm saying
thing.
That's sexy. Like, there is a thing about him.
Because there's more passion in the way those scenes are shot
than the relationship
than
between
love
him.
Scenes or relationship Correct. Scenes are shot in 2023.
Correct. There's so much more passion in the kitchen than there is, which I don't understand how people let that storyline and the episode that just focuses on those two, I don't know how they let that pass the keeper. I don't know. It
well, once
blows
you're locked
my fucking
in,
mind.
Like, once you've introduced it, you can't.
Mate, just skip that episode. When you see the episode with the two of
them.
They're
too good of writers to just, like,
God.
Bump her off, which feels like they've done it in a way, it's kind of interesting to me, like watching it. It's like, that's interesting the way that they've done it, the cliffhanger, because they could, it's almost like they can take stock of the story and see what people thought. If people don't like her, they can make sure that when season three comes back, they're broken up. Or if they do like her, you know, they can get back together in episode one and go on from there.
Also, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I think I'm having a stroke. Alert. I'm having a stroke. The mum in the last episode, reckon she went off and killed herself.
Something bad's happened with Jamie Lee Curtis.
That scene with the son-in-law, and he's crying, and the daughter's like, oh, she has no idea why. Oh, God damn it. Jamie Lee Curtis is so good.
Yeah, and that's, I think that's what makes it even more frustrating when there's this bullshit, like, romance storyline going on. Because you want to get, like, they've introduced other storylines in this season that are far more fascinating, far more interesting.
Yeah.
Jamie Lee Curtis, the brother-in-law. It's a family drama saga, right? That's what we want to see. And I understand that Calm having a girlfriend is part of that, but there was just nothing there.
Boo.
So, yeah. But
anyway, The Bear. Fucking watch The Bear. Don't be stupid. We ran out of time. We'll do another episode where we talk about Only Murders in the Building, but Jesus Christ, watch The Bear.
Yeah.
It's one of the best shows I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, season really two amazing. Of The Bear is right up there for me as far as TV shows are concerned.
Remember when I was watching season one and I was like, Damien, watch it. You'll love it. And you're like, no. Too much trauma.
Yeah.
Working in restaurants. And I'm like, trust me. Well. Welcome to the dark side of the frying pan.
No, it's a brilliant show. And,
brilliant.
Brilliant.
Also,
you know what else is, you know what we've been watching? The Late Show. That's also brilliant.
Listen, every episode we mention The Late Show. And Damien was like, oh, you should listen to the Arnold Schwarzenegger Marin podcast.
That
episode
would have so much snow on it because it's so high. Brilliant.
I was like, oh, yeah. So, because anyway. I listened to the Arnold Schwarzenegger episode of Mark Maron.
Oh, man. I just want to say something real quick. If you're a big fan of Arnold Schwarzenegger and you love his movies and all that sort of stuff, do not listen to the Maron episode.
The first part, you're right. The first part is good. But then when they start talking about politics, you can hear Maron going, what are you saying? Like, it's just crazy. But I am interested. The first part, I was like genuinely like, oh, this is great. And then it just goes off. Anyway, but there's a moment in it where he was talking about the movie Stop All My Mum Will Shoot.
Yeah.
And they offered it to him and he didn't want it because the script wasn't great. And he goes, and the director wasn't a good director, didn't know how to do comedies. Anyway, Sylvester Stallone ended up doing it. And he's like, you know, look how bad that movie was. It wasn't very good, was it? It was because it didn't have a good comedy director. I've been very fortunate in my life because I had a comedy director. You know, I had very good. I mean, I've had Ivan Reitman, you know, and who's a genius. And I'm like, oh, my God.
And of course, I was lucky enough to have Ivan Reitman.
I was listening to it. I'm like, oh, my God, he does the Ivan Reitman. He's a genius. With Tony Martin.
Fuck, Tony Martin.
Dead fucking, when was it? 90?
Tony Martin.
30 years ago.
Predicting podcast interviews.
30 years ago, Tony Martin. I feel like I want to get a clip of it and just mush it together and send it to him because I'm just like, he's like, I was really lucky because I had a good comedy director. Like the way he's like, you know, Stop and My Mom Should do not have a good comedy director. But if you have a good comedy director, the movie's good. It's got to be funny, you know? I'm not even trying to like put on a terrible Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No, actually think it's pretty good. It's not bad.
It's the way he says, comedy director.
Yeah, comedy director.
Yeah, the way I had the comedy, you know, because comedy is comedy. It's going to be funny, you know. But, dude, I was dying. I love
he does like a kind of trip over the sentence. And of course,
yeah,
and the And of course, I had able to write them.
Oh my god, Jimmy! Anyway, I can't all right, do we should honey. We should end.
All right, we're ending it. This podcast has gone for like fucking an hour and 10 minutes. It's meant to be
it's gone for 5 days. Anyway, fucking watch the bear, man.
What did Jimmy think of the bear?
I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
No.
Does it have chicken in it?
It does have chicken in it. It's set in the kitchen.
But can I can only see it. I can't eat it.
No, you can't eat it. You can just look at it.
Listen, Damien. You fucking dumb cuck.
Yeah.
Get me out of fucking kitchen. Give me the fucking chicken.
Mate, you've already had...
Or I'll kill you in your sleep.
You had a quarter and chicken and chips for dinner tonight.
No. I want the good stuff. Give me the stuffing and the skin.
The stuffing? Yeah, if I give you the stuffing, your mum will kill me.
I don't know why you're still sitting there. Chop, chop.
I'm doing a podcast.
Come on, quick as you can. Chop, chop. Quick as you can.
All right, let's wrap it up there. Thanks for listening.
Sorry this came out a day late. Sorry, guys. Yeah. Sorry.
Well, sometimes
we ran out of batteries.
We did run out of batteries. It's actually a true story.
This is why we're not supposed to wait till Sunday to record. We've got to record on Saturdays.
This is a production conversation we can have.
No. I want to hold you accountable. We can do it. We have to do it on Saturday because you're going to have a barbecue next Sunday. And all next right. Saturday, we're seeing Paul McCartney.
Yeah, I mean, it would be pretty funny to do an episode about Paul McCartney.
Hey.
But we're not going to do that. We're going to watch some movies, and then next week we'll be back to do another episode of Should We Just Watch It Real Quick?
We love you.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. And, tell your friends.
Tell your friends. Share it.
I love you.
Little, yellow, different.
Different.
Love you
too. Yeah. You need a jacket. I had a gas and you need a jacket. All right, I love you.
I love you too. Keep looking up.